The mother lay stiffly as if she was fighting the pain even when it wasn't there. Her eyes were closed and tears from the corners melted into the sweat from her stringy hair. Her thin dress was stretched tight against her huge belly, and Lonnie May could see lumps moving underneath the material as the baby squirmed to get into the right place to be born. It didn't smell so good around the bed. Everything was wet and fearful. The birthing was going to get harder. Lonnie May squeezed her doll baby hiding in her pocket. Suddenly, Miss Pritchard reared up and screamed. Her eyes bugged wide, and even the blue parts looked white. One arm shot out and grabbed Lonnie May's wrist hard enough to almost break it. Lonnie May yelped and snapped the wet cloth across the woman's face. The pain in her wrist was fierce, so she hit her again and again to make her let go. Then she bent forward and bit Miss Pritchard's hand as hard as she could, and the laboring woman finally let go. The girl fell to the floor on her side. Her doll baby dug deep into her skin. Miss Merley yanked her up by her hair. The room was filled with the screams of all three women. Lonnie May, shut your mouth! You're here to help this poor woman, not make her more fearful.
It's the COI Podcast.
Hello from Brooklyn. I'm Sergey Burbank, Coordinating Director of Conflict of Interest Theater Company. The COI Podcast combines a love of literature with a love of performance, and for the next few episodes, we'll show that love even more than before as we present live recordings of the COI Podcast presented before an audience. In the summer of 2010, the COI Podcast presented live recording sessions over the course of 4 evenings as part of the Bococa Arts Festival at the Archip Gallery Theater in Brooklyn. We've never recorded the podcast outside the COI Podcast Central, so this was an experiment. You'll notice some rough aspects to the audio, everything from creaking chairs, echoing voices, and street-level traffic. Our performers and audiences rolled with it and had a great time. I invite you to do the same for the same effect. C.H. Sherman frequently appears on national television commercials and, under another name, in a recurring role on a popular daytime drama. Jessica McVeigh is a graduate of New York University's Tisch School of the Arts and has since gone on to direct with many New York theater companies, including Prophecy Productions, Manhattan Theater Source, and Piper McKenzie. She is the director of theater and a founding member of Thesia Arts, and has sung at Carnegie Hall and had a solo at Lincoln Center's Alice Tully Hall. Here is McVeigh performing Doll Baby by C.H. Sherman.
A branch snapped against Lonnie May's leg as she stepped into the clearing. The welt rose up fast and it stung like 20 bees. Lonnie May grabbed the branch and broke it from the bush. It made her mad when she got marks on her legs. She had pretty legs, her daddy said, and she meant to keep them white and smooth, not like her ma's legs. They were lumpy with ugly purple and blue veins showing through the hairs, and her ma's hairs were dark, not like Lonnie May's golden fuzz. That's what her daddy called it, her golden fuzz. She knelt down and looked at the red mark on her calf. Ms. Big Belly's fault. A little mud would have taken the color down, but the ground was dry as graveyard dust. She mashed the stem of a polecat weed covered with white foam her ma called frog spit and rubbed it on the tender place. At least it would heal before she got home, unless the birthing was early. She would wish for that. Then her daddy could tend to the mark, make it better. Good thing it didn't break the skin. Lonnie May sat down on the ground and stared at the shack in the clearing. Smoke rose from the chimney. At least Ms. Pritchard wasn't too far gone to let the fire die. Having babies happen all the time, and a woman shouldn't need the help of a 12-year-old girl, especially during county fair week. But Ms. Pritchard was having her first, and she was old for that. Lonnie May heard her ma telling her daddy that Mr. Pritchard was going to throw Ms. Pritchard out if she couldn't bear him any children. They'd been married since before Lonnie May had lost her first baby teeth, and it was high time they were in the family way. Lonnie May heard her daddy say he'd be glad to service the missus, since he knew for a fact that Mr. Pritchard's tiny pecker was the cause of all the trouble. Lonnie May's ma made the mistake of hitting her daddy, and she wore a pair of swelled eyes for a week. Lonnie May put salve on her daddy's knuckles each morning till the bruises healed. The shack was kind of pretty, though, set back against a brace of laurel trees. Lots of sunshine in the front, lots of shade in back. Even a skinny little creek not too far away. At least she wouldn't break her back hauling water during the birthing. Lord, she wished her ma had come instead of sending her to babysit this woman. Lonnie Mae brushed the drying stem away and broke the mistletoe branch, then tossed the pieces into the brush. She wondered if Ms. Pritchard was watching her take care of herself. Could she tell Lonnie Mae wasn't rushing like a goose to its gizzard to help some baby get born? The 6 times she helped her ma, she'd stayed at home and taken care of her daddy, too. Only good thing about helping Ms. Pritchard was her sugar beet dumplings. Lonnie Mae meant to stock up on those. She smoothed her dress as she stood up and walked a walk that would let a spying Ms. Pritchard know she was tired of this business before she got started. When no one came out into the porch, she pounded on the oak front door just in case the pregnant lady was sleeping. "Hey, Ms. Pritchard, it's Lonnie Mae!" She was just fixing to go on in when the door swung open. There stood Ms. Pritchard, big-bellied and freckled. 26 or 27, with swollen cheeks, swollen fingers, swollen anchors. A leather-handled knife gleamed in her hand. She was smiling. "Lonnie Mae, it's so good to see you. Come in and help me cut my hair." Lonnie Mae had expected Ms. Pritchard to be dragging herself about, but here she was, waddling around like a hog heading for the trough. A woman about to deliver a child wasn't supposed to have that much energy. And she probably didn't have much tolerance for those who didn't feel the need to rush. She wouldn't give Lonnie Mae a minute's rest. It'd be, "Do this, do that," the whole time. Lonnie Mae figured she could stand it for a week at most. She'd pray to the Lord that the water would break tonight so she could get home faster. She did not like this joyful woman. "I really appreciate you helping me, Lonnie Mae, especially since you'll be missing the fair and all." "Where's Mr. Pritchard?" Ms. Pritchard took Lonnie Mae's blanket full of belongings and laid them on the floor in the corner. "Fixing up the dam upriver. My time's coming fast, and I don't know when he'll be back. That's why your mama sent you. Help me with my hair, Lonnie Mae. I don't want my baby screaming its head off at the sight of me." No wonder her husband was away from home. Who could stand all that yakking? Lonnie Mae shuffled over to the stool where Ms. Pritchard was trying to squat down without losing her balance. "Give me your arm, girl. This baby rocks so much it'd like to make me tip over." And she giggled a little girl giggle that made Lonnie Mae wonder if mothering hadn't made all her brains leave her head and fall into her belly to get squashed by the baby. "I got one side sort of cut, but I know it ain't straight, and you ain't even got a looking glass to show me. Make me pretty, Lonnie Mae. Make me pretty for my brand new child." Lonnie Mae took the knife. Ms. Pritchard's hair fell in gray-brown strings down to her shoulders, straight as the stitching on her daddy's suspenders. No 2 strands were the same length. She had bangs in front with one great chunk missing near her left ear. Even if she got everything else the same length, she was still going to be lopsided. But Lonnie Mae didn't much care. She smelled something good cooking. The faster she cut, the sooner she'd eat. The knife was a poor one, though. Cutting hair, even using a sharp knife, took time, but this knife was so dull Lonnie Mae could have sawed the back of Mrs. Pritchard's neck without so much as piercing the skin. "Dull knife don't cut good. Get the sharpening stone on the table. Hurry up, Lonnie Mae. This baby's kicking to get out. He won't let me sit here too long. And then we'll be needing more firewood. The wind's blowing from the east and the fire's crackling too loud. Big storm coming in for sure. We'll be needing a sizable heap." Lonnie Mae dragged herself to the table. She scraped the knife blade across the stone while Ms. Pritchard talked and talked and talked about nothing and everything. Lord, the woman was duller than the knife. Ratting on about babies and such didn't interest Lonnie Mae at all. She'd been caring for them all her life. Nothing exciting about babies. "When you're done with my hair, I want you should see my baby's clothes. They're so sweet, just like my baby. You hear that, baby child? You are sweet like them clothes I'm set up to wrap you in. Soft and sweet smelling. And Miss Lonnie Mae is making things easy for your poor mama, making her pretty for you, little baby. Little baby, my little baby, come to stay. Thank the Lord, come and pray, thank the Lord." Sake, singing was worse than talking. Hungry or not, Lonnie Mae had to get away. "Storm's coming fast, I best get firewood." She stuck the knife in the table before Ms. Pritchard could argue and ran out of the shack faster than she'd moved all day. She hadn't lied too much. A storm was blowing up, but she figured it wouldn't hit for a while. She could take her time getting logs and kindling. The air was cool and blessedly quiet. How long was she going to put up with that horrible, cheerful woman? Maybe if she acted put upon, which she was, the old lady would leave her alone and just hurry up and have a damn baby. Lonnie Mae decided to put the kindling first, since the logs were already stacked at the table in the little shed next to the shack. That way, she wouldn't have to go back and ride away. The woods round back were dark, thick with moss and saplings, trying to make a life of their own in a world of giants. She picked up a twig here, a branch there, holding them in the hollow of her skirt. She wanted to run and play hide-and-seek with the sun. She wanted to run away from sappy Ms. Pritchard and get on home, back to her daddy. "Hurry up and get born, stupid baby!" Her voice rang through the trees. A brush rabbit sprang from a fallen log and did a zigzag scamper in front of her. It crossed left to right, a show bad luck sign. Lonnie Mae tore the hem of her dress just a little to take off the curse. Most of the kindling fell to the ground. "Damn rabbit, damn baby!" She gave the log a mighty kick, but then stopped short. Sometimes rabbits left their babies hidden and tried to lure you away from them. A little dead bony rabbit would be fun to hide somewhere in the shack for Ms. Pritchard to find. Maybe a good scare would get the labor started. She dropped the rest of the kindling and snuck forward. Squatting by the log, she peered into its opened end. She couldn't see any rabbit bunnies, but there was something sticking out from under a mound of rocks and dead leaves. It looked like a piece of flowery material. She poked at it with a finger, then gingerly pulled it out from its hiding place. The material was wrapped around something. A knotted piece of string held it together. Lonnie Mae set it on her lap and carefully untied the string. The material fell away, and there, staring up at her, was a corn-shuck doll only as big as a hand. It had little cut-out arms and legs and dried peas for its ears, eyes, nose, and mouth. Straight pins kept them from falling off. On its head was a clump of brownish hair stuck on with sorghum by the smell of it. It was wearing a little cloth diaper. Lonnie Mae looked under it. The doll had a tiny carrot pecker and two dried pea balls. She laughed out loud. A little boy doll baby hidden in a log. Somebody's secret doll baby, and Lonnie Mae had found it. She kissed it and rocked it while she sang a lullaby her mom used to sing. Bye, oh my baby, bye, oh my baby, bye, oh my baby, go to sleep. She'd only had one doll in her whole life. Her daddy whittled a beautiful lady doll when she was 5, but it had got passed on to her 3 sisters, and one day it turned up lost. Lonnie Mae beat all 3 of them, but it couldn't be found. Her daddy never made her another one, even though she asked him real nice and always rubbed his back that special way when he asked her to. Lonnie Mae knew she should put the doll back where she found it, but it was so tiny and cute she wanted to play with it. She kissed the little doll baby's face and rocked it some more. "You hungry, child?" She unbuttoned the 2 buttons still holding the top of her dress together and gently pushed the corn-chalk baby's face to her small pink nipple. She imagined her doll baby sucking milk from her, even though her breasts weren't full grown yet. Big enough to stretch her dress too tight and make her lose buttons, but not big enough to suckle a child of her own. Soon, though, she made sucking sounds like she'd heard her baby brothers and sisters make. Once when her ma had fallen asleep while nursing Connor, Lonnie Mae had gently pushed his head aside and sucked at her ma's breast like she was a baby again. Connor's bawling woke up her ma, and she swatted 8-year-old Lonnie Mae away from her so hard that the girl fell against the woodbin and chipped a new front tooth. Lonnie Mae yelled that her ma's milk didn't even taste as good as an old cow's. She was glad to see blood on her ma's brown nipple where her big girl teeth had ripped the skin. Lonnie Mae's shouts brought her daddy running. Ma was the one who got the whipping, though. Somebody took real good care to make the little doll baby look so sweet and to cover it so it wouldn't get cold. This doll baby was real important to somebody. But why'd they hide it in a dirty old log? Maybe they knew somebody special would find it. Like Lonnie Mae. A special doll baby for a special girl. A special girl who could feel the tingling in that little corn-chuck body shoot right through her body, too. She let her doll baby nurse at her breast while she sang some more, then laid him on her lap and buttoned her dress. She'd take the little doll baby with her, to play with. She wrapped it carefully in its calico swaddling, put it in her pocket. It bulged somewhere, her hips swung inside her shapeless dress, but she figured nobody would notice. Besides, her pockets were her business. The sun was sliding down the sky, so she headed back to Ms. Pritchard with the wood. She gathered as much kindling as she could hold in her skirt without crushing her doll baby and sauntered back to the shack. She talked to her doll baby the whole time, telling him the games they were going to play together. As she clumped up the porch steps, she heard her name being called. She had an excuse already about a mean warthog protecting its babies when she opened the door and saw Ms. Pritchard on her hands and knees in a pool of water. Her breathing was noisy and fast, whether from pain or fear Lonnie Mae did not know. "My time! Get Ms. Marley!" Lonnie Mae dropped the kindling in the woodbin and rushed to get Ms. Pritchard to the bed. A pregnant woman is heavy, but a laboring pregnant woman is a handful, even for a full-grown man. The girl had to half-drag, half-carry the panicky woman from the floor across the room to her bed. It would have been easier just to leave her there on the floor, but she didn't want the grand any woman scolding her. Besides, Lonnie Mae was thrilled the birthing was happening so soon. Her little doll baby had brought her luck. She got Ms. Pritchard into the bed and pulled the limp pillows on either side of her. She dipped a cloth into the water bucket and wrung it almost dry before laying it on the woman's forehead. Then she covered her up with a comforter at the foot of the bed. "I'm for Miss Merle. You got lots of time before the baby gets here. Why don't you sing a song?" Lonnie Mae dumped the water from the bucket under the floor to rinse away the woman's water, then ran to the creek and filled the bucket with fresh water, which she poured into the bigger of the two kettles hanging over the fire. She didn't want Miss Merle yelling at her for not having any water heated up. She was almost at the door when she remembered, "Miss Pritchard, where's the hornet's nest?" If the stupid woman didn't have an empty nest hanging in the rafters, the granny woman might not deliver the child at all, and it would be up to Lonnie Mae, and the birth would surely be a bad one. And it would be Lonnie Mae's fault for not making sure everything was right. She pressed her doll baby against her thigh. "Hanging over the cupboard!" screamed Ms. Pritchard. Relieved, Lonnie Mae grabbed the knife sticking in the table and speared a chink of meat boiling in the small kettle, then she ran for the midwife. Ms. Merle would be expecting someone to fetch her any day now, so there was no danger she wouldn't be home. All the same, Lonnie Mae ran as fast as she could, just in case she had to find her picking berries out in the woods. First birds could be hard, especially when the mother was past her prime. Lonnie Mae wanted the granny woman to be there from the start to coax that baby into the world. Thunder rumbled in the sky. She could feel her doll baby rubbing against her leg as she ran. He brought her the good luck to get the mother's water to break so soon, and he brought her the good luck to find Ms. Merle just coming home with a basket full of wild licorice, the best thing for easy childbirth. The granny woman told Lonnie Mae to run back ahead of her so Ms. Pritchard wouldn't be alone for too long. Since Lonnie Mae left the shack, 3 hours had passed. The wind was thrashing the trees when Lonnie Mae burst into the Pritchard home and found the mother in the middle of a bad pain. Her howls put the fear of God into Lonnie Mae. She'd never heard a woman in confinement scream so horribly. At the same time, she couldn't help but think how childish this woman was for not being able to stand a little pain. "Ms. Merle is coming. Hurtin' bad. Make it stop, dear Jesus." A lot of the kettle water had borne away while she was gone, so Lonnie Mae grabbed the bucket and ran for more water. She filled and emptied 4 buckets full until the kettle couldn't hold anymore. Then she dragged in 2 logs and held them across the kindling from the wood bin. Luckily, the leftover embers were still hot enough, so the fire was blazing by the time Ms. Merle, drenched with rain, rushed in. Lonnie Mae's face was flushed when standing by the fire so long to keep it good and hot. Her doll baby's cornshock baby felt warm against her. The pregnant woman's howls had turned to screams, but the granny woman slapped the hysterical woman's face. "Eliza, you're not dying, you're just giving birth. Stop raising the dead." The old woman's gumption made Lonnie Mae smile as Miss Pritchard started to cry like a baby. Some woman just can't take pain, she thought as she closed the door Ms. Merle had left open. Maybe Ms. Pritchard's hips were too small. Maybe that's why those bones were having to stretch so much. Lonnie Mae's hips were just right for childbearing. Her daddy had told her so. "She's burning up. Girl, bring me all the clean cloths you can find." The granny woman sounded worried. She knew it was going to be a hard birthing, too. Lonnie Mae yanked open the cabinet drawers and pulled out 2 patched and yellow sheets. She fairly flung them under the foot of the bed in her haste. Ms. Pritchard's foot jerked as a spasm wrenched her, and the clean sheets fell to the floor. "You stupid girl! Rip off the parts that touch the floor and boil them! Hand them to me next time!" Lonnie Mae cursed the stupid old pregnant lady and then cursed the stupid old midwife. It wasn't her fault the sheets got dirty. She tore the thin material with her teeth and tossed the dirty pieces into the kettle of boiling water. Then she walked extra slow round the bed and leaned against the bedpost to hand the clean leftover pieces to Ms. Merle. "Got more. Sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus!" The prayer ended in an ear-splitting squeal. It sounded to Lonnie Mae just like the time her ma lost her grip while splitting a hog's throat. In bolting away from her, with the knife still stuck in its gullet, the hog hit the ground and shoved the knife straight through the back of its neck. None of the family could catch it and put it out of its misery, and it broke out of the pen and ran off into the woods, squealing and squealing. "Just like a stuck pig," her daddy said. He had made her ma, 7 months pregnant with Doria, go after it alone and haul it back. That hog must have weighed 40 or 50 pounds. And then the knife was ruined. Her daddy was so mad he threatened to use it to cut the baby out of her ma's belly right there, hanging over the hog's stinking carcass. When Doria was born, the cord was around her neck, and she was marked with a piggish, pushed-up nose. "More cloths!" Lonnie Mae threw open the cabinet's bottom drawer and lifted out a white tablecloth embroidered all over with tiny yellow and blue daisies. She yearned to have a beautiful cloth of her own one day. The thought of this piece of work covered in blood and birthing muck almost made her cry. She carried it to Ms. Merle and held it out to her. Thunder cracked outside. "Fine, lay it on the foot of the bed, then wipe her face with this cloth." The granny woman had ripped pieces of the torn sheets into strips and tied Ms. Pritchard's feet to the bottom of the bedposts. Too much thrashing around could cause a lot of damage. The other pieces were soaking in a bowl of water. As she wrung out a wet cloth, Lonnie Mae stole a look at the woman waiting for her baby. The mother lay stiffly as if she was fighting the pain even when it wasn't there. Her eyes were closed and tears from the corners melted into the sweat from her stringy hair. Her thin dress was stretched tight against her huge belly, and Lonnie Mae could see lumps moving underneath the material as the baby squirmed to get into the right place to be born. It didn't smell so good around the bed. Everything was wet and fearful. The birthing was going to get harder. Lonnie Mae squeezed her doll baby hiding in her pocket. Suddenly, Miss Pritchard reared up and screamed. Her eyes bugged wide, and even the blue parts looked white. One arm shot out and grabbed Lonnie Mae's wrist hard enough to almost break it. Lonnie Mae yelped and snapped the wet cloth across the woman's face. The pain in her wrist was fierce, so she hit her again and again to make her let go. Then she bent forward and bit Ms. Pritchard's hand as hard as she could, and the laboring woman finally let go. The girl fell to the floor on her side. Her doll baby dug deep into her skin. Ms. Merley yanked her up by her hair. The room was filled with the screams of all three women. Lonnie Mae, shut your mouth! You're here to help this poor woman, not make her more fearful! The midwife shoved her away, and Lonnie Mae fell hip first against the bedpost. Her poor doll baby took most of the blow, but Lonnie Mae's leg hurt real bad. Ms. Pritchard's screams got louder than before. Lonnie Mae limped away from the bed and cursed under her breath. Hush now, hush, it's coming soon now. Your pretty little baby will be here soon. The granny woman fairly crooned to the pain-crazed woman strapped to the bed. She stroked her hair and wiped the sweat and spittle from her face with strong, soothing strokes. The screams turned to whimpers. Lonnie Mae, can I trust you to gentle her into drinking this licorice tea while I boil the mouth a bit? It's almost time. Sullenly, Lonnie Mae crossed to the bed, but stood out of reach of any grasping hands. The woman on the bed was so pale, she looked almost dead. This was the worst birthing Lonnie Mae had ever seen. How much pain could this woman bear? Lonnie Mae checked to see what Ms. Merley was busy at the kettle, then leaned close and whispered into Ms. Merley's ear, "You want to see my doll baby?" Lonnie Mae pulled out her little doll for the pregnant woman to see. She unwrapped it and held it in front of the woman's face, but was ready to yank it back if she grabbed for it. Ms. Pritchard opened her eyes just a slit, thinking in her delirium that it was her own baby being shown to her. A boy? Yes'm, it's my little boy doll baby. You can look at it, but don't touch it none. Ms. Pritchard struggled to focus her eyes on the wonder of her creation. Instead, she saw dried peas skewered on a corn-chalk face with a scraggly piece of human hair on its head. Her eyes opened wide as she croaked in a hoarse voice. She took in my baby. Put it. Lonnie Mae tightened her grip on the doll. Another howl ripped the laboring woman's throat. The sound was terrifying. Ms. Merley rushed to the bed. Damnation, Lonnie Mae, where'd you get that doll? I found it. Put it back. Now it's a spell for her child. You messing with the witch's spell, you wicked girl. Put it back. I ain't done nothing wrong. I didn't know it were hers. Put it back where you found it, or I'll have the devil curse you, Baron. I was just playing with it. Lonnie Mae ran from the shack into the storm. She crushed her doll baby against her breast as she stumbled through the brambles and dodged the branches that threatened to slap her face. Rain blinded her. She cried as she ran, cried with all the fury in her soul. Even though her sobs, she could still hear Ms. Pritchard's screams. Tears clogged her eyes, so she tripped on scruffy undergrowth and twisted her ankles on rocks. By the time she reached the log where she'd found her doll baby, she was soaking wet, and her breath was choked and gasping. Lightning lit up the sky. She threw herself down on the slippery grass and writhed, paying no heed to the mud, dirt in her dress. Thunder exploded, and she howled. Her bare feet kicked and kicked as if the storm were her enemy. Raindrops pelted her twisted body. The wind ripped at her clothes and pulled her hair. She clung to her doll baby with both hands and rocked back and forth, moaning. She rolled herself sideways into a ball and pressed the little corn-chuck figure between her legs. After a time, she lay still on the ground, matted grass under her cheek, mud oozing near her mouth. Lonnie Mae knew she couldn't keep her doll baby. She had to put it back where she found it or be cursed by the devil. Ms. Merley would know if she kept it. Witch magic was powerful. And Lonnie Mae was holding Ms. Pritchard's birthing doll. She had to put it back in its hiding place so the baby could get born. She brought the doll baby close to her face. A bolt of lightning lit it up. One of the dried pea eyes was missing and the hair had slid down its back. Her sweet little doll baby was nothing but a spell doll, an ugly corn-chuck spell doll that would never be hers. She'd put Ms. Pritchard's doll baby back. She'd tell Ms. Merley so the old witch wouldn't make a baron, but she'd better hurry. Ms. Merley might be mad enough to witch her as soon as the baby was born. If her daddy found out, he'd whip her good. Of all kinds of punishment, that's what he favored most. And she didn't cotton to having a spell put on her and getting whipped, especially since it wasn't her fault. The rain pelted her hard as Lonnie Mae cradled her doll baby in her arms one last time. She kissed the tiny face. She lifted the tiny diaper and kissed its tiny pecker. Then she bit it off. She did a good job of shoving the doll baby back inside the log and covering the little figure with a mound of slippery leaves and twigs. Then she ran as fast as she could back to the shack. The sky was almost dark as night with ugly gray black clouds. Lightning and thunder battled the wind and rain for power. Lonnie Mae shivered and swiped at the hair in her eyes. Lights ahead made her ache for the warmth of the shack. As she stepped into the clearing, she saw bloodied Ms. Murley lurch through the doorway and collapse to her knees, retching. A mother's anguished wails were pierced by the tinny screech of a child in pain.
The COI podcast is made possible through the generosity of donors to Conflict of Interest Theater Company and is available streaming on the web at conflicttheater.podomatic.com. You can also find us by searching for the COI podcast in the iTunes podcast directory. Read our blog at conflicttheater.blogspot.com. For more information on the company and its productions, visit us on the web at coitc.org. Graphic design is by Eunice Inquimboy. Legal advice, Paul Renitz. Special thanks to Gamze Ceylon, Anne Galloway, Jennifer Rathbone, Eileen Trilly, Jason Updike, and Sam Van Halgren. Questions, comments, and submissions can be sent to conflictinfo@gmail.com.